ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु शावहै Yesterday, when we completed the class, we understood from the previous verse, in my book it's the 35th verse. For a real accomplisher, the accomplishment is the knowledge of the truth as one's own self. Knowledge of the self, knowledge of his own self is real nature. And for such a person, any other accomplishment, any other achievement, any other even the accomplishment of occult powers or miraculous powers also, are like the dream, that as good as the dream experiences. Which means the dream experiences are not unreal, even though they're experiences, but still, for the one who was woken up from sleep, for him, the dream is no more real. In the same way, for the person who accomplished his wish, knowledge of his real nature, for him, any other accomplishment, any other achievement, any other, even the mystic powers or experiences or occult powers or miracles, all of them are as good as the dream. That's what he said yesterday. And he said, for the one who is awake, the dream cannot be real anymore. Dream is not real anymore. Similarly, for the one who has the vision of the truth as his real nature in his own mind, thereby one who sees only this truth, everything, only the truth, for him, there is no Maya. There is no thing called Maya. There is only Brahma. When you say there is no Maya, what does it mean? There is only Brahma for him. It's like for the person who has seen the water, for him, in spite of experiencing the ocean waves, there are no waves and ocean, there is only water for him. Which means those waves and ocean which he is experiencing are not real. He is only mithya for him. There is only water which is the reality. In the same way, for the one who has the vision of the truth as his own real nature, for him, Brahman alone is there. All that is here is only the reality, and there is no Maya, there is no Jagat. Which means in spite of experiencing the Jagat, there is no Jagat for him. Which means for him, Jagat does not enjoy existence of its own, therefore it is not absolutely real for him, it is mithya. For him it is only Brahma. Is it clear? This is what we saw in the 35th verse as per my textbook. Now, the 36th verse.
Soham vicharo vapuratma bhave सोहं विचारो वपुरात्मभावे सहायकारी परमार्गणस्य सहायकारी परमार्गणस्य स्वात्मैक्यसिद्धौ सपुनर्निरर्थो यथा नरत्व प्रमितर नरस्य यथा नरत्व प्रमितर नरस्य सोहं विचारो वपुरात्म भावे सोहं विचारो वपुरात्म भावे सहायकारे परमार्गणस्य सहायकारे परमार्गणस्य स्वात्मैक्य सिद्धौ न पुनर्निरर्थो सपुनर्निरर्थो सपुनर्निरर्थो पुनर्निरर्थो यथा नरत्व प्रमितिर्नरस्य नरत्व प्रमितिर्नरस्य See, saha aham, saha aham, saha aham, saha aham. In fact, aham brahma asmi, that mahavakya artha, the meaning of that mahavakyam, is again, is the same like this, saha aham. Soham also is a mahavakyam, no? Soham. Soham is a mahavakyam. Saha paramatma ahamasmi. That absolute self, the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, obtaining as the innermost essence of everything here, every being here, the all-pervasive reality, manifest as the whole, thereby enjoying the status of being the Lord Ishvara, that reality is my real nature, is myself. Saha aham. Okay, saha aham, saha aham, soham, vicharaha. Vicharaha here, vicharaha, even though the word vicharaha means introspection or inquiry, here vicharaha implies the contemplation. So repeatedly dwelling upon the nature of one's own self, being identical with Paramatma. So repeatedly dwelling upon one's own real nature, being the consciousness, which is the only reality, which is the absolute self, Paramatma, is what is the contemplation, which one would have understood through Shravana Mananam. That such contemplation is required when? Vapuratma bhave. Vapuratma bhavaha means what? As long as one has yet to resolve, one has the identity, one has the essence strongly rooted in the physical body. As long as one sees oneself to be an individual, as long as one has essence in the body, dehatma buddhi. Dehatma buddhi is said here as vapuratma bhavaha. So as long as one has this vapuratma bhavaha, so long sahayakari, no, it is supportive and useful. So contemplating upon one's own real nature, being identical with Paramatma, Parambrahma, the whole Ishvara, the contemplation is required, is useful, supportive. How long? As long as one looks at oneself as an individual, as long as one has identity with the body. Isn't it? As long as one has to resolve one's habitual errors. As long as one is still victimized by his own habitual errors. Isn't it? So how long do you need to be contemplative? How long do you need to be... For a contemplation is will not be an action here. Isn't this why you will be in meditation? If you have the assimilated vision of the truth as your real nature, then you will not be doing meditation without any effort. Effortlessly, you will be reveling in the vision of the fact. You will be in meditation. So what he says, this soham vicharaha sahayakari paramarganasya. So this distinguishing the self from the body, mind is complex, thereby inquiring into the nature of that self, the I, and understanding with the help of Shastram as what this I is, what this knower is, thereby arriving at the truth and dwelling upon the truth being identical with the Ishwaradi Paramatma. All this inquiry is now supportive and useful. Now, in order to arrive at the truth, not accomplish the end, as long as one has identity with the body. How long do you need Shravanam? How long do you need Mananam? How long do you need Nididhyasanam? So, Shravana, Manana, after Shravanam and Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all of them are required for the one, the supportive and useful. How long? As long as, one is in search of the truth, as long as one has identity with the body, one has the Dehatma Bhava rooted in the body, so long one needs all of them. They are all supportive and useful. Once, having distinguished the self from the non-self and understanding the I every time, the first person singular pronoun I, which he uses to refer to himself, now distinguishing it and seeing that I being abstract, formless, formless entity, and which is not the body, which is not the mind, which is not the senses. First having distinguished it very clearly, then inquiring what is I, what I am referring to as I, what is the self I express to refer to myself, what it I is, what I am. When you inquire with the help of the Shastram, then you arrive at the truth of that I being consciousness, wherein you resolve the very I in the reality, then you don't see I, this only reality. Just as you cannot see the wave once you have resolved the wave in the water and its truth. Similarly, you see the wave, but still you know water, its wave is water. The same way you see the I am awareness, I the self am consciousness. And then you understand the same consciousness, one and the only consciousness being the truth of every thought and every being, the every entire universe. And having arrived at this vision, having arrived at its truth and repeatedly dwelling upon it, having got it assimilated, when you have the luxury of reveling in the vision of your real nature being identical with Paramatma, the whole, then do you need any vichara? Only until you assimilate this vision, you need Shravanam and Nididhyasanam. After having assimilated, when the vision is so clear for you, when you are reveling in the vision of the truth, oneness of the truth, non-duality of the truth, secondlessness of the truth, and having recognized it as your real nature in your own mind, then afterwards, this Shravanam, this saha aham, I am that, that vichara, that inquiry, that contemplation, that dwelling upon is no more required. It is of no use. It is meaningless. See, now when you know very well, you may go to the seashore, you may see the ocean, you may be enjoying the waves, the plurality, multiplicity of the waves. You do experience the plurality and multiplicity. At the same time, in spite, without denying your experience, without making any hard work to undo the experience, you know effort, you don't need to say every time, the entire ocean is water, the entire ocean is water, the waves are all water, every wave is water. Don't need to say. Because you see the waves, you see the ocean, but still you are 100% so clear, there's only water. All that is, there is only water. And how do you say only water? While experiencing the waves, enjoying the, jumping and moving and roaring and silent waves, enjoying the entire ocean, seeing them, experiencing them without denying your experience, till you see beyond, the truth beyond your experience, the conclusion is what? There is only water. You see, maybe you don't need to repeatedly say, standing at the seashore, my God, I should not lose sight of the water. Wave is water. All the waves are water. All the waves are water. Ocean is water. You don't need to repeat. Why? You have the assimilated, clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality, one and the only reality being water. In the same way, once you have the assimilated vision of your own real nature being pure knowledge, pure consciousness, awareness, and you see that awareness being the only reality, secondless non-dual reality of the whole, having resolved in spite of experiencing, going through the experience of what? I am an individual, the knower, there is a world. Is it this? In spite of experiencing the duality as knower, known duality, in spite of experiencing the plurality and multiplicity of beings, in spite of seeing all the differences, experiencing also, you don't need to repeatedly say, everything is Brahma, aham Brahmasmi, asoham, saha aham, I am that Lord, I am that, everything is Lord here, everything is Brahma here. You don't need to. Such effort, contemplation, something is nirarthakaha, meaningless. Saha nirarthakaha. Such a thing is meaningless, means what? It is not necessary. I am the whole aham brahmasmi, that vichara. Punaha, again, that is nirarthaha, it is meaningless, means it is not necessary at all. For whom? For the one swatma aikya siddhau, for the one who has already accomplished, or accomplished in terms of vision of the truth of the whole as one's own real nature. Swatma aikya siddhau. When a person has the assimilated, ascertained vision of the truth being one's own real nature, and the truth being the secondless non-dual reality which is his own real nature. For such a person, any that which soham vicharaha, the repeatedly dwelling upon the fact of oneself being identical with Paramatma, is meaningless. Okay, soham vicharaha means what? Dwelling upon the fact of one's own real nature being identical with Paramatma. I repeat the sentence. Dwelling upon one's own real nature being, one's own self being identical with Paramatma is meaningless, it's not required, it is not necessary. When the person has assimilated vision of one's own real nature being identical with Paramatma, thereby one who sees only Atma, only Brahma, in spite of experiencing the duality in differences and plurality. Like what? He gives example, yatha naratva pramitihi narasya. Naratva means, no, enjoying the status of being a man, human being. So, pramitihi means what here? Clear knowledge. No human being has any doubt. Isn't it? Pramitihi here means what? Pramitihi is another word for prama. Pramitihi is also a feminine gender word, which is another word for prama. Prama, jnanam, vidya, actually prama is cognition. Pramitihi is also cognition. Pramanam is instrument of knowledge. From that you get the word what? Prama. Pramanam, instrument of knowledge. Pramata, subject of knowledge. Prameyam, object of knowledge. Prama, knowledge. And pramitihi is also knowledge. So prama and pramitihi mean the same. Both are feminine gender words. Anyway, so, pramitihi, narasya pramitihi. For a human being, when he has clear, doubt-free, knowledge of himself being a human being, does he need to repeat, I am a human being, I am a man, I am a man, I am a man, I am a human being? Do you need to dwell upon this repeatedly? Not necessary. Why? Your knowledge is so clear. Wherever you are, however problems you have in life, in no situation you can forget that you are a human being, you are a man. Isn't it? In the same way, here, how many of our experiences we have, how many of our miraculous experiences, are people materializing things, or mystic powers, or what not, whatever it is, in spite of experiencing the plurality, multiplicity, duality, with all these things also, for the one who has the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of one's own real nature, the truth of I being, the only, secondless, non-dual reality of the whole, or self being identical with Paramatma, for such a person, even soham vicharaha, aham brahmasmi, I am that. I itself am consciousness, awareness. I am Brahman. Even that contemplation or inquiry is meaningless. It is unnecessary. It is not required. Amazing, isn't it? So, inquiry, effort, contemplation, the shavanam, mananam, everything is required when? Only Dehatma Bhava is there. Only Vapuratma Bhave. Only when there is identity is with the body, when there is a I sense is strongly rooted in the physical body. See, this book makes one thing very clear. See, we have learnt in English language and our own languages this I, the first person singular pronoun, and we use that pronoun to refer to ourselves. This much we know already. But we never really, Vedanta really helps you understand, even though you use that pronoun I, the first person singular pronoun I, to refer to yourself, every fraction of second you refer to yourself, you use that pronoun I, but you there's no way, never ever, do we see actually what that I is. We never ever distinguish that I from the gross body or even subtle thoughts, subtle powers of, ten powers, organs of actions or powers of knowledge. We never, or pranas, physiological function, we never distinguished it because of the close proximity. Because the I is a knowledge which lies in the home of a thought, is a manifestation of knowledge. And for that knowledge to manifest, the thing is, I is knowledge, cognition, which rises, which manifests only in the form of a thought, when there is a thought. For the thought to be there, and there must be mind, functional mind, mind functioning mind. For the mind to be functional, for the mind to be there, there must be, the mind must be associated with the given gross physical form. And now, along with all other subtle instruments of knowledge and actions, in terms of karmendriyani, gyanendriyani, they're also subtle, isn't it? If you really see the human physical body itself, amazing knowledge it is. So here, therefore, because of the I does not exist independently. There's no such thing called knowledge I existing independently. Which obtains from our thought outside of, independent of the physical body, isn't it? That is why the close proximity, what now, naturally is identified with this. Isn't identified with this. So here he says, that is why it is very natural for us to have identity with the body, mind, sense complex. It is very natural for every human being who is endowed with this knowledge, I am, the self-consciousness, to have identity with the body, mind, sense complex also. Therefore, the samsara and the problems that go along with this wrong identity also as a human being, one has to go through. So when a person really starts thinking, starts using his intellect and mind, the buddhi, then he starts inquiring why the problems in life, why there are differences in life, then he wants to know what it is all about. With the help of the shastra, he understands the value of the knowledge of the truth. Then he has a spiritual person when he really works. Then what happens? That is when he arrives at the through Shravanam and Mananam, help of the Shastram, he is able to distinguish the eye and he is able to analyze, inquire into what it is, nature of it, arrive at the stumble upon the truth. And he cannot find anything other than knowledge, just the knowledge. The truth of eye is knowledge, because the truth of wave is water. Is there something called wave without the water? It's just the appearance. In the same way, the eye actually is only manifestation of knowledge. When the knowledge shines, it is recognizable, we call it manifestation. When the knowledge does not shine, it non-recognizable, you call it pure knowledge. Understand? So you arrive at it, assimilate it, and see that secondlessness, non-duality, or oneness of the truth. And in the vision of the truth, you resolve the not only the I, and also this jagat, all the plurality, all your experiences obtaining in the mind, form of thoughts. Okay, everything you resolve in that reality, and in spite of experiencing the duality, you can say what? There's only Brahma. And for a person of such a vision, this any more vichara, soham, one does not need to repeatedly dwell upon this fact. Sva-atma aikya siddhau saha vicharaha punaha nirarthaha. Punaha saha vicharaha nirarthaha. Dvaitam vichare paramartha bodhe. Dvaitam vichare paramartha bodhe. Tvadvaitamityesha. Dvaitamityesha. Na sadhuvadaha. Na sadhuvadaha. Dvaitam vichare. Dvaitam vichare. Paramartha bodhe,
paramartha bodhe,
tvadvaita mityesha,
tvadvaita mityesha,
na sadhuvadaha,
na sadhuvadaha.
Gaveshanat prag, dashame vinashte,
dashame vinashte.
Paschachalabdhe, dashamatvamekam, dashamatvamekam.
The tenth man.
See, when you are inquiring, there is duality, people will say. No? See, in ignorance, when you are ignorant of the truth, there is duality. So in order to remove the ignorance, in order to free yourself from ignorance and delusion, and through when you do Shravanam and Mananam, later on when you dwell upon the fact you understood through Shravanam and Mananam, initially when you are given to the inquiry into the nature of the self also, you know, there is what? Always Advaitam is Satyam. Non-duality is the fact. Reality is always non-dual, secondless. Advaitam is always Satyam. Always what is there is Advaitam only. When you are ignorant also, Advaitam is there. Whether you you have the knowledge of the non-duality of the reality or not, even then what? Even when we are ignorant of the non-duality of the reality, still there is non-duality of the reality, which is the truth, isn't it? Reality is non-dual, even whether we are ignorant or we know, we are knowledgeable. So after you have the vision also, what? After you attain the knowledge of the reality being non-dual also, reality is non-dual. Okay, Advaitam is Satyam always. Reality is always non-dual. There is non-duality of the reality always. Before our knowledge, after our knowledge, during our knowledge, also is what now? During our enquiry, Shravanam, Mananam, Nidhyasanam, always the fact is, the truth is, duality is always non-dual. The reality is always non-dual, isn't it? So, some people, what they think, vichare dvaitam. When I remain ignorant, I have the vision of the truth, and when I am given to study of the Shastram in terms of Shravanam and Mananam, then I am given to the enquiry into the nature of the self with the help of the Shastram, that time there is only duality. There is only duality. Then when does non-duality come for them? Paramartha Bodhe. After having inquired into the nature of the self, after having understood the, arrived at the nature of the self, after having assimilated the nature of the self being the consciousness, after having recognized the fact of the consciousness being the only secondless non-dual reality of the whole, then only what now? You understand the whole jagat, all the experiences are mithya. Only then, after the assumed vision of the truth, there will be non-duality. Paramartha bodhetu advaitam. What do they say? Vichare dvaitam. Paramartha bodhetu advaitam. That tudvaitam had to split there. Tu advaitam. So only after the assimilation of the vision of the truth, there will what now? There is non-duality. Until that assimilation, during vidyasanam, ashavanam, marmanam, during enquiry to the nature of the self also, what now? They say there is dvaitam. There is duality. Iti, such an argument, you know, people discuss, talk like that. So such a discussion, such expressions, na sadhu. Okay, their arguments or such statements, expressions are not right, not correct. Why? Because duality is there only when you are in ignorance. There is no duality at all. There is only non-duality. It is not that when you are given to the enquiry, there is duality. And when you attain the jnanam, then non-duality comes. So duality is not there. Duality does not go. Non-duality does not come. There is no arrival of non-duality after jnanam and departure of duality, okay, existence of duality while inquiry and the departure of duality after jnanam. No such a thing. Always what is there is what? Non-duality of the reality. Reality is ever non-dual reality. Advaitam is always satyam. Is there dvaitam? Dvaitam is, as long as ignorance is there, dvaitam is. Dvaitam exists only when there is ignorance. Dvaitam exists where only in your perception, in your experience. There is no absolute duality. We don't say duality is not there. duality is very much there, dvaitam is very much there in terms of knower non-duality, difference. Knower non-division, knower non-knowledge, triputi, Veda, in terms of that Veda, so the plurality of the jivas, beings, multiplicity of the objects and things. So definitely all these differences do exist. They are all there. Duality is very much there in terms of experiences and difference, etc. When, as long as you are in ignorance, only in your ignorant, in the perception of the ignorant person, perception of the ignorant mind, isn't it? Remaining ignorant when you per se, there is duality. Absolutely, there is no duality. If at all there is duality, duality is only empirically real, relatively real, not absolutely real. What is absolutely real is non-duality only. So, Advaitam does not come after your jnanam. Before you become aware of the water being the truth of the waves also, what was there? Water. You become aware of the water being the truth of the wave later on. But whether you know or not, water has been always the truth of the ocean and the waves. It doesn't become Advaitam, isn't it? So in your perception, before you were perceiving the waves and the ocean, when your attention is shifted from the waves, the ocean to the water, then you when you started seeing the water, when you understand the reality, what is independent, what is dependent, when you resolve cognitively the waves and the ocean and the water, in spite of experiencing the duality also, you can say what? There is only non-duality. In the same way here, non-duality does not come newly. So non-duality does not come and duality does not go. There has been non-duality of the reality. So having such arguments, really it is something which means they are not given to the proper understanding or proper study. If they are not exposed to the systematic study of the Shastram, and they will have all these fancy ideas. When I am in Vichara, there is duality, and after the attainment of Jnanam, Advaitam comes, non-duality comes. No. So here, that's why Dvaitam Vichare Paramartha Bodhetu Advaitam Iti Yeshaha Vadaha Na Sadhu. Sadhu Vadaha Na. It is not right argument. It is not right to say that. Because it's something, it's again what? No, expression of ignorance. It is not expression of the clear vision. For the person of clear vision, until jnanam, the duality may be real. Duality is real for one, absolutely real. After jnanam, duality is still there. It is not unreal, but it is mithya. It is empirically relatively real. But what is absolutely real is non-dual reality. Non-duality of the reality is absolute reality. Therefore, he gives example. Gaveshanat prag dashame vinashte. Nat prag dashame vinashte paschachalabde. Paschachalabde dashamatvamekam. Dashamatvamekam. So, we have this Upanishad, na? that story, the 10 people. You know, of the 10 people, one person, the 10th man was missing. So, there were 10 people, the 10th man was missing, the 10th man, all of them were searching for the 10th man. Then, even before they started searching for the 10th man, there was 10th man. But they could not find the 10th man. That's why they had to search for the 10th man. The 10th man was very much there. But they could not find the 10th man. Just because they could not see the 10th man, that does not mean the 10th man was not there already. 10th man was very much there already, but they were searching for the 10th man. So, Gaveshanath Prak, even before they were searching for the 10th man, the 10th man was who was missing, he was very much there. Paschartha Labde, after when they found this 10th man, then the 10th man has not come there newly after they found out. The 10th man who was already there only they could discover. Isn't it? So, what he wants to say, Advaitam, non-duality of the reality, is secondlessness of the reality, oneness of the reality, okay, is not something which is attained as a result of your act of knowing. Okay, it is something which is to be discovered, which is already there. Okay, the non-duality of the reality is what? It's a fact which is already there, which is to be discovered, which is not something to be newly attained. So, we don't attain newly the knowledge of the non-dual reality which was not there before. We only discover the non-dual reality which is already there. Okay? Yeah. So, Shastra Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, other through, while Shravanam, the inquiry, Vichara, all of them are only for you to help you discover the fact, discover the truth which is already there, not for you to attain something newly which was not there. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, here we had the Shastra Pramanam also, the Vedanta Shastram, Upanishads, or our other scriptures, which serve as Pramanam, the valid means of knowledge, help you arrive at the reality which is already there, arrive at the fact of the reality being non-dual, which you do not see, which you are not capable of seeing, arriving at using your own already given instruments of knowledge. Your sense organs or even the sharpest intellect Bhagavan if he has blessed you with, even crushing with intellect also, you can never arrive at the vision of the non-duality of the reality for which you need an independent means of knowledge which is Shastram. That Shastram helps you discover the fact of what? The non-duality of the reality which is already there. It is not something you attain newly. Therefore, knowledge is, in fact, discovery of the fact which is already there. It is not something newly created. Okay, knowledge of the truth, knowledge of the reality is discovery of the fact which is already there, hidden, covered. It is not something newly created. In fact, not only Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, any knowledge for that matter. No knowledge is ever created. Understand? And second thing, that's why vision of Advaitam, vision that knowledge of the non-duality of the reality, non-duality of the reality is not something which comes after the jnana, which was already there, is a fact which was already there, covered, and you discover it later on. Only thing what you need to remember is, when I look at myself as an individual, when I am given to the study of the Shastram, in terms of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, when I am given to this contemplation, when I am given to the inquiry into the nature of the self, for as an individual, definitely there is an experience of duality, which is non-deniable here, but still, duality is what? What is real for me now really, the Sanatana Shastram understand what? How non-duality is absolutely real. Duality is there. Duality is also not there. I am not saying duality will not be there afterwards. Duality will be there always. Non-duality is also there. But duality is relatively real, empirically real. Non-duality is absolutely real. It's like when you are experiencing the waves and ocean, you are also seeing the water. And there you see what is independent, what is dependent. Then you understand what is real and what is mithya. And resolve the mithya, in satyam you see what is there is only water. Isn't it? So nothing is, nothing that, dvaitam does not go away. You negate dvaitam as mithya, as empirically real, relatively real. You arrive at the advaitam as absolute reality. That is what is understood here. Let us go to the next verse now. In my textbook, the number of the verse is 38.
Karomi karmeti naro vijanan. Karomi karmeti naro vijanan. Badhyo bhavet karma phalam cha bhoktum. Badhyo bhavet karma phalam cha bhoktum. Vichara dhuta hridi kartruta chet. Vichara dhuta hridi kartruta chet. Karma trayam nashyati saiva muktihi. Karma trayam nashyati saiva muktihi. Karomi karmeti. Karomi karmeti naro vijanan, naro vijanan, badhyo bhavet karma phalam cha bhoktum, bhavet karma phalam cha bhoktum, vichara dhuta hridi kartruta chet, vichara dhuta hridi kartruta chet, Karmatrayam nashyati saiva muktihi. Karmatrayam nashyati saiva muktihi. So, in this verse, what is muktihi? What is freedom? What is liberation? So, muktihi is another feminine gender word for the mokshaha, which is a masculine gender word. This I tell you every time in the class. Vimochanam, mokshaha, muktihi are all synonyms in different the words of different genders. That's all. Sa eva muktihi. That alone is freedom. Sa eva muktihi is saivam. Luckily now the words are beautiful. Sa, the sentences are complete in these verses. Sa eva muktihi. That alone is freedom. What is freedom? He says, freedom is there only when you are free from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So freeing oneself from the doership and enjoyership is freedom. So he says kartruta. Hridi kartruta dhuta. Kartruta dhuta. Hridi means what? When the notion that I am the kartruta means kartrutvam. Kartruta is another word for kartrutvam. When the kartruta hridi dhuta. When the notion that I am the doer is resolved. The notion I am the doer is resolved. When will the notion I am the doer be resolved? Only when you resolve the very I sense. Isn't it? I. How do you resolve the I? We distinguish the I from the anatma, the body mind-sense complex, and see that what you refer to, whenever you refer to yourself,
the pronoun I, what you use, actually is expression of the knowledge, arising of a thought. And when you inquire into the nature of that I, where does it rise, where does it exist, where does it resolve, and you arrive at the truth of the I being awareness, consciousness, thereby you resolve the I sense in that reality. When the I sense, when I am consciousness, when you resolve, nature of the consciousness is what? Actionlessness. So when you recognize your sarupam, the nature of the self being consciousness, thereby understand I is of the nature, I am consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. What action does the I do? What action does the I do? So I actually is consciousness. I am consciousness, which is of the nature of actionlessness. So through enquiry, vicharena, okay, vicharena, shastra sahayena, never ever we do independent vichara. With the help of the shastram, when you enquire into the nature of the I, when you arrive at the truth of the I being awareness, you understand, when you resolve identity with consciousness, then what happens? You understand your nature being actionlessness. Then what that notion you had is what? The notion is what? The notion I am the doer also will resolve. Along with the I, so what he says, when the I sense, I itself becomes resolved, and where is the question of the notion about the I? I am the doer is a notion centered on I. So that any notion, not only the notion I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all the wrong notions you entertain about yourself, all of them together resolve along with the I. When you enquire into the nature of the I. Understand? Very important here. In fact, bondage is notional. You are never bound. You were never bound. You are not at all bound now. You can never be bound. You will never be bound. You are ever free. Because freedom is your very nature. Isn't it? Limitlessness is the very nature of the self. Nature of the I. But here, then still in spite of freedom, limitlessness, happiness, fullness being one's own real nature, there is sense of bondage. The sense of bondage, that notion is what, that notion I am bound is there, because it's one of the wrong notions you entertain about yourself. Thereby all it, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all these notions you entertain about yourself are because of your wrong identity with the anatma in terms of body, mind and complex. Therefore all the limitations being superimposed upon the I, thereby the notions also what now? You entertain about all the notions, your conclusions you have about yourself are all erroneous. Therefore all these, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, these are notions. And as long as these wrong notions entertain about yourself, you have what now? I am the enjoyer also notion will be there. Thereby you have punyam and papam. Thereby you object to what now? Sanchita karma, agami karma, parabdha karma. So all these karmas, so karma bandha, samsaraha, all of them will be there only because of the wrong notions you have about yourself. The wrong notions you have about yourself are all because of a wrong identity. Therefore, when you inquire into the nature of the I, you resolve the I sense there in the reality. Along with the I, all the notions you had about the I also become resolved for good. Therefore, you become free from what? I am the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Being free from all the wrong notions, along with the wrong notion, but now all the three karmas also become resolved. I am the enjoyer, his notion is not there. I am the doer, notion is not there. Then who has the punya papam then? Punya papam, karma palam is there for whom? So karma trayam, sanchitam karma if you are not, if I am the enjoyer notion is not there, then who has this karma phalam then? Therefore, there is no sanchitam, there is no parabdha, there is no agami. There is no agami. Therefore, karmatrayam nashyati. So, when through inquiry, by inquiring into the nature of your own real nature, when you resolve the I-sense in the true real nature, along with the I-sense, when all the wrong notions and wrong I also become resolved, as a result of which, when you become free from the notion that you are the doer and you are the enjoyer, all your sanchita, agami, parabdha karmas also resolve for good, and being free from that bond, that some karma, bondage of karma is what? Muktihi. Is it clear now? What is freedom? Nice, isn't it? What is freedom? He explains very well. So, when one becomes free from all the threefold karma, sanchita, agami, prarabdha, that is what is freedom. How do you become free from sanchita, agami, prarabdha? Only by exhausting? No. Without exhausting also, you become free from karma phalam, sanchita, agami, prarabdha, karmani, you become free from all those karma phalani, all those fruits of actions, just by freeing yourself from the notion, I am the enjoyer. That you become how? By freeing yourself from the notion, I am the doer. So, all the wrong notions resolve how? By resolving the very I. How do you resolve the I? By arriving at the truth of the I. How do you arrive at the truth of the I? By through inquiry. How do you inquire the nature of the I? With the help of the Shastram. Is it clear? Therefore, now he says, first one he says, Karomi karma iti naraha vijanan. I am doing this action. Okay? Aham karma karomi. First, see the first line now. Karomi karma iti naraha vijanan. Okay, the person who knows, who considers himself to be the knower, having a strong eye-sense in the body, and think what? I am the doer. I do this work. I do all the work. I do karma. No? The person having eye-sense in the body, when he thinks that I do the karma, then alone, he becomes what now? He becomes the one who is afflicted by, he becomes the one who is the enjoyer of the fruits of actions. Karma phalam cha bhoktum badhya bhavet. He becomes responsible. No? He becomes responsible, which means he happens to enjoy the fruits of actions. He happens to enjoy the fruits of actions. Karma phalam cha bhoktum badhya bhavati. Karma phalam bhoktum badhya bhavati means what? You know, he happens to enjoy the fruits of actions only when he entertains this notion that I am the doer, and having strong eye-sense in the body, emotions, complex, and he thinks, I do the actions, I perform actions. Only then he is subject to enjoy the fruits of results, fruits of actions, results of actions. Is it clear? Otherwise, if he inquires into the nature of the I and resolves the I in its truth, thereby understands this real nature being actionlessness, when he resolves all the wrong notions he has about oneself, including the notion that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, then he becomes free from all the threefold karma in terms of sanchita, agami, prarabdha, and that becoming free from freeing oneself from bondage of karma not by exhausting the karma, but freeing oneself from the notion that I am the enjoyer, that is what real freedom, mokshaha. Even then, this freedom is, which is already, freedom is what? He is always free from karma. He doesn't attain freedom from bondage of karma. He only takes ownership of the freedom which is already there. But recognizing his swarupam being actionlessness.
Karomi karmeti naro vijanan. Badmi karmeti naro vijanan. Badhyo bhavet karma phalam cha bhoktam. Badhyo bhavet karma phalam cha bhoktam. So this is the sentence for that. First sentence he says, when a person thinks, I do karma, I perform actions, having identity with the body, mind and complex, then he happens to enjoy the fruits of actions. But when he, by inquiring the nature of the I, when he arrives at the truth, discovers his swarupam being actionlessness, and resolves all the notions about, he entertains about himself, in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, then he becomes free from the bondage of karma. No, becomes free from all threefold karma, hanchitagami parabdha, and which is actually discovery of the freedom which is already there, which is the accomplishment of the freedom. Okay, we'll go to the next verse now. 39th verse. Baddhatva bhave sati moksha chinta. 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 Bandhastu kasyeti. Bandhastu kasyeti. Vicharanena. Vicharanena. Bandhastu kasyeti vicharanena. Bandhastu kasyeti vicharanena. Siddhe swayam. Siddhe swayam. Swatmani nitya mukte. Swatmani nitya mukte. Kwa bandha chinta. Kwa bandha chinta. Kwa cha moksha chinta. Kwa cha moksha chinta. Baddhatva bhave sati moksha chinta. Baddhatva bhave sati moksha chinta. Bandhastu kasyeti vicharanena. Bandhastu kasyeti vicharanena. Siddhe swayam. Siddhe swayam. Swatmani nitya mukte. Swatmani nitya mukte. Kwabandha chinta, kwabandha chinta, kwacha moksha chinta, kwacha moksha chinta. He says, moksha chinta, you know, I have to attain freedom, I have to discover freedom, I have to free myself from bondage. All these, I have to free myself from bondage. I have to discover freedom. Okay, I have to discover freedom. I have to attain moksha. Like this, the thoughts concerning freedom are possible only as long as one looks at oneself being bound, isn't it? As long as one thinks one is bound. Baddhatva bhave, as long as one enjoys the status of being bound, as long as one considers oneself to be bound, so long will there be thoughts concerning what I have to attain freedom, I have to discover freedom, etc. But once you start inquiring into the nature of the self,
know, in terms of who is bound, who has bondage. Bandaha tu kasya. Is the body bound, mind bound, sense organs bound, are the eye bound, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Am I bound? Who has bondage? What is bondage? Who is bound here? When you inquire, if I am bound, no? By inquiring into the nature of the one who is bound, one who you think he is bound, isn't it? Then, by inquiring into the nature of the I, okay, if at all you think I am bound, if I am bound, let me understand first of all who I am. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Who I am. By inquiring into the nature of the very I, arriving at the truth of the I, then what happens? You discover yourself being already free. Sva Atmani Nitya Mukte Swayam Siddhe. So, Muktihi is already your very, when you discover the fact of the freedom being already your very nature, limitlessness being your nature, yourself being already free from all limitations. How do you understand? You do not attain moksha, you do not become limitless, you do not become free from limitations. You just by inquiring into the nature of I, who you think is bound, you arrive at the true nature, you discover what? Sva Atmani Nitya Mukte Swayam Siddhe. When you discover the freedom of yourself being already free, when you discover your real self being already free, okay, then what happens? You understand there was never bondage, therefore you were never bound, therefore you never need to become free also. There won't be any more thoughts concerning bondage or freedom. Kwa bandha chinta, kwa cha moksha chinta. You understand the fact of bondage being never there at all. You understand and freedom being your very nature. Freedom is not something to be attained by you, and bondage was never there for you. There was no bondage, there is no attainment of freedom, which means the discovering the freedom being your real nature is what? Attainment of freedom. How do you discover the freedom being your real nature? By inquiring into the truth of I. First you start what? I have to attain moksha. When you start studying a shastram, what happens? You say what? I am bound and then I have to attain moksha. And then in terms of, I have discovered the moksha, therefore I need to attain jnanam, then I have to study the shastram, and I have to go through shravanam. Isn't it? All these things remain how long? Only as long as you start inquiring into the nature of yourself. Once you seriously inquire into the nature of the I, choicelessly, when you happen to resolve the I in awareness, the reality, then you take ownership of the freedom, limitlessness, being already your nature, your swarupam. Then, having discovered your real swarupam being freedom, then there won't be any more thoughts concerning bondage or moksha. Understand? Who is the one who is bound here? You think I am bound. There's a notion. I am bound is also what? Notion. I am subject to all limitations. I am bound by karma. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I did papam, I did punyam, I do karma, I accumulated punya papas, I have prepared my account, I have sanchitam, I have agami, I am going through paradha, I am exhausting paradha karma phalam. Vidu says, my paradha, I go through paradha, I am accumulating agami, I have hanchita karma, it's all my karma, I am going through, I had to free myself from this bondage of karma, I had to complete, isn't it? All these thoughts we have. How long? Well, he says, baddhatva bhave sati moksha chinta. Only when you entertain the notion that you are bound, then there is the thought of what? I have to attain moksham and all those things. But then, when you inquire, if I am bound, then ask this question, if I am bound, who am I? This who is bound here? Who is this I who is bound? What is this I which is bound? Body is not bound. Mind is not bound. Thoughts, emotions are not bound. Sense organs are not bound. Physiological functions are not bound. They are inert. They don't entertain I sense. There is no understanding. They are all inert. So they are neither free nor they are bound. They are just inert functions and physiological functions and material matter. Then who is this bound? And I think I am bound, which means I is bound. Who is this I who is bound? When you inquire, first of all, in order to free yourself from bondage, first of all, you have to understand who is this I? What is this I who seems to be bound? When you enquire into the nature of the I, then you stumble upon choicelessly what? It's true, the consciousness. In discovering the reality, the consciousness, the I resolves, isn't it? When I resolves along with the I, when all the notions resolve, then you see, you discover your swarupam being fullness, limitlessness. First he said actionlessness. Now you discover your own nature being free from all limitations. You're free from all limitations. Then you take ownership of the freedom which is already there. Okay, and having take ownership of the moksha which is already there, in the vision of the freedom being your very nature, limitlessness being your very nature, you resolve what? You know, the thoughts about bondage and moksha, all of them resolve. For you, after discovering your real nature, what is your vision? Understanding of the fact, you were never bound. Okay? Therefore, you don't need, there is no attainment of freedom also. Nice. Kwa bandha chinta, kwa cha moksha chinta. Where is the bondage? Where is moksha? Who attains moksha? It's nice, isn't it? Therefore, what is the teaching here? There's no real bondage. There's no real attainment of moksha. It's all notional bondage. That's why the attainment of moksha is notional only. Therefore, it is only all that you need is in resolving ignorance of the self, the moksha can be taken or taken. Moksha, you can take ownership of the moksha as your very nature. Do not attain anything here. Rupinya rupinyu bhayatmika cha. Rupinya rupinyu bhayatmika cha. Rupinya rupinyu bhayatmika cha. Pinya rupinyu bhayatmika cha. Muktistri rupeti, muktistri rupeti, vido vadanti,
vido vadanti,
idam trayam ya, vivinaktya handhi, vivinaktya handhi, vivinaktya handhi, tasya pranashaha paramartha muktihi
paramarthamukti idam trayamya vinaktyahandhihi tasyah pranashah paramarthamukti nanashah paramarthamukti. See, muktihi trirupa. Muktihi trirupa. Iti vidaha vadanti. Mukti is of threefold. Iti vidaha vadanti. Okay? There are some great learned men say that mukti is of threefold. What is threefold mukti? Rupini, arupini, ubhayatmika. Rupini muktihi, arupini muktihi, ubhayatmika muktihi. Iti muktihi trirupa, iti muktihi is a feminine gender word. So, trirupa muktihi. Rupini muktihi, ubhayatmika muktihi. Iti threefold mukti people, some learned men talk about. In fact, what does it mean? Rupini muktihi means even after the discovery of freedom, the mind continues to exist. The form continues to be there. And some people will say, no, no, after the discovery of freedom, as Jivan Muktaha, a person lives, and that free, the person, the wise person, his wise person, who has the vision of the reality as one's own real nature, thereby who is objective, who has objectivity in his life, or who is free while living, the such a person, he is still, the mind continues to be there, that as an enlightened mind continues to be there in the same physical body as long as Parabdha is there. And after the Parabdha is exhausted, when the mind leaves the physical body, that mind will be resolved for good. It will not come back assuming another body. No? Then there is no more form. Again, assumption of another form. See, when the Jivan Muktaha, the wise person who is liberated while living, who lives his until the Parabdha is exhausted, after he is, you know, when he Parabdha is exhausted, when he departs from the physical body, then his mind will be resolved for good. The mind will not be there afterwards. So that assumption of another body is not possible. It means he will remain formless. That means what now? There will be only formless. There won't be form. Assumption of the form is not possible again. That's called Videha Muktihi, isn't it? This Arup, some people talk about this Arupini Muktihi. And Ubhayatmika means what? Ubhayatmika means, no, after the liberation also, some people, you know, will continue to be there, assuming the will be there. But some people may not have rebirth again. This sort of discussions, these are discussions are there on the part of the learned men. Now, we simple people who are given to study of the Shastram, when we listen to all these things, considering these people as learned people, we may get confused also. But we have to, what he says, Sravana Maharshi puts a full stop to all these things.
But Vedanta Shastram makes it very clear. The person who discovers freedom while living, he lives as a Jivan Muktaha. He is free. He is not bound by Punya Papa as a Jnani. He is free. No, there is no Hanchitam for him. There is no Agami for him. Even the person prarabdha the Punyam, whatever he earns, that Punyam also can be shared by other people who fall at his feet. But he is free from all the Punya Papas and bondage. He is free. He is a person who has the luxury of reveling in the vision of fullness. But when the Parabdha, he lives as long as Parabdha is there. When the Parabdha is exhausted, when he leaves the physical body, then that person, that mind will be resolved for good, the sukshma will be resolved for good, then there is no more manifestation. That's called Videha Muktihi. The Shastram talks about a Jivan Muktaha. Definitely after the exhaustion of the Parabdha, when he leaves the physical body, and he will have Videha Muktihi. He will not be assuming a form again and returning again. No more returning. And Upanishads say very clearly, just as when you cannot see the footprints of the birds which they fly, no, you cannot see the footprints of the fish when they swim in the water. So also you cannot see the footprints of the liberated people, Mahatmas, who have left the physical body and gone. I mean, there is no more returning of the rebirth for the person, the Jivan Mukta, who has left the physical body. Which means he has attained Videha Muktihi. That non-returning is what? Actually, moksha is also another word, concept is there. And what Shastram says, and here, Rupini, Arupini, Ubhayatmika, sometimes they may be with the form, they may not have form, all these things people talk about, doesn't matter, but Ramanashi wants to put a full stop to all these things. What is Paramartha Muktihi? What is real moksha? What is absolute end called moksha? What is the absolute end called moksha? What is real freedom, moksha? Paramartha Mukti, he says, idam ya vivinakti aham dhihi. In fact, resolution of I in its truth. Aham dhihi means the knowledge I. Aham dhihi means I thought, I cognition. The I knowledge. The knowledge I am, isn't it? Aham dehi means I recognition. I. Isn't it is what? Cognition. I am is cognition. So, this I, the one who inquires, one who is discussing about his threefold, who is the one who is discussing, who is talking about his threefold mukti? Not the body, not the thoughts, not the sense powers, not the pranas. You will say what? I. You get it what I'm saying? I am the one who is involved in discussion on this threefold, what is real, what is right, what is wrong. So what Ramana Maharshi says, Vivinakti, who is the one who differentiates one from the other? Differentiates these three. Who is the one who is discussing about this threefold mukti? Who is the one who is discussing about the threefold mukti and differentiates one from the other? That one is who? I. So, then he says, and that when that I is resolved, the resolution of the I, okay, who is involved in this, who is involved in this discussion on differentiating threefold mukti is real moksha. So how can I resolve the I? Only vitru vichara, inquiring into the nature of I. You have to first of all distinguish the I. Because now as ignorant people, we are very Dehatma Bhavaha, strongly I senses rooted in the body. is nothing wrong. Body is I, definitely. Body is I. Body is not the non-I, non-self. Body is I. But I am not the body. I is not the body. Why? Because body is object of my knowledge. Body is known to me. I am the knower. Therefore, I the self am the knower. I am distinct from what? My own physical body known to me. So also all the pranas known to me. I the knower, I am distinct from the sense powers known to me. I the knower, experiencer, I am distinct from the powers of organs of actions known to me. All the emotions known to me, thoughts known to me, chitta, mahank, everything is known to me. But I the knower, I am distinct from all these objects of knowledge. Therefore, what now? I is not the body. I am the one is involved in what now? Discussing, inquiring about this, what these threefold muktis are. So what he says that I, distinguished I from the body, mind and complex. Understand I being a formless, abstract cognition, manifestation of knowledge. And now inquire into this, what this I is. Then you understand the I is knowledge which is there in the waking state which rises and resolves. I is knowledge which rises and resolves. Knowledge which rises in the form of a thought. I is something which rises in the form of a thought, obtained in the form of a thought which rises and resolves. There is a time this I is not. There is a time this I is. What is that I? Knowledge rises in the form of a thought. Therefore, in deep sleep state, it is resolved. In waking, it rises. When it rises, it is waking. It resolves. It is deep sleep state. Therefore, what is that which is there because of the presence of the which the I being resolved, I being there, I being not there is known. That is what pure consciousness awareness, which is the truth of I. There's no I which exists outside of that reality, the awareness. Therefore, when you inquire into the nature of the I, resolve the I in its real nature, cognitively resolving the I in its truth is what? He says, aham the pranashaha. Is what now? It is the resolution of the ahankara. Is in fact absolute moksha, end moksha, that is real moksha. That is what is paramartha mukti. Aham dhihi means what? I cognition, I thought. And tasyaha pranashaha. So pranashaha literally means destruction, but here resolution you should take, isn't it? See, understanding the fact that wave is what is what? Destruction of the wave. According to Vedanta Shastra, isn't it? There is not real destruction. You are not destroying anything, undoing anything here. You understand wave being not there other than water is what? Cognitively resolving the wave in the water. Cognitively resolving the wave in the water is what? In fact, isn't it? The destruction of the wave. There's no real destruction. So here, destruction of I, ahankara, means resolving the I in its truth through inquiry is what? Attainment of the absolute end mokshaha. That is paramartha mokshaha. So don't need to break your head in knowing whether after liberation form continues to exist, after liberation the form resolves, after liberation maybe form resolves or form not doesn't exist. Don't get into, now what you need is what? You have to recognize your real swarupam and take ownership of your real nature. Being freedom, limitlessness, happiness, fullness, which is already there. In discovering which, you can resolve all the undesirable, unwanted sorrow limitations. That is what you need now. So for which, so don't get into the discussions on what other scholars say and all that. Now all that you need is, whoever is saying anything, any commentary, any argument, any theory, you have to inquire into what now? Who is the one who is involved in discussions, debates and arguments and inquiry and all that? Who is the one? Definitely you will say what? I. Arrive at it. Once then, what is I is? I is not a gross form, not even a subtle form. It's a knowledge obtained from a thought which rises and resolves. Therefore, this I which rises and resolves, obtained from a thought, is nothing but what? Manifestation of knowledge, which is pure knowledge, the consciousness. When you arrive at it, resolve the I sense cognitively. It's only cognitive resolution. You are not physically undoing anything here, isn't it? So, cognitive resolution of I in its truth is what? The real accomplishment of the absolute end called moksha. I like it. See, he talks, because in resolved I sense, not only that, what is that next thing? In the vision of your real nature of yourself, you understand that your own real nature being the real nature, the truth of the entire cosmos. Also, therefore, you not only you resolve I, you resolve the Jagat also, isn't it? When you resolve the I sense, resolve the Jagat, thereby you resolve the duality and plurality, everything cognitively, then you understand the non-duality of the reality, which is the Advaita Darshanam, which is Mokshaha. Advaita Darshanam is Mokshaha. We'll stop for some time.